Good morning, everybody. Welcome in yet again to Long Meadow Church of the Brethren, your virtual church service. I like saying it like that because we are broadcasting to you live from the world headquarters of the Long Meadow Church of the Brethren television studios. And we put this thing up on YouTube, and I see these other people do this all the time when they're doing their YouTube thing, and they always say, hey, if you like what you're seeing, reach down there and hit that like button. I don't even know where it's at. All I know is if you're liking this, just view it and share it and let people know that in this day, in this world of confusion, that we're trying desperately to get the word out in whatever manner we have. And so welcome into God's house this morning. Thank you for being here. As you have been following us, we have been working to endeavor to raise money for Charles Nayani to build his house in Ghana, West Africa. And we had been soliciting funds and putting a jar together in the back there for people to drop money off in. And last Sunday, we ended the donations period. We're getting ready to send the money over to him. And what we were looking for $4,500, and what we wound up with was $2,438. An odd number to be sure, $2,438. And so we will be sending that to Charles, and we're looking forward to him being able to receive it. And so thank you, and we ask that you continue to keep Charles and all the missionaries in prayer that are out there, because it's forever work. You don't get to retire from it. You know, that's what it is when you're in those countries. You're there until you're not. And everything that we can do to take our comfort here over there is nothing but a blessing to them. So thank you for that. Thank you. So let us join ourselves together this morning as we come before the Lord. We're going to start off with Luke chapter 1. We're back in Luke. Our sermon title today is called Thus Saith. And I'm still getting eye rolls from that sermon title. On the way down the road this morning, we were looking at things, and I told her what the sermon title was. She goes, is that even a word? I said, you better get your King James Bible out. Thus saith. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 22. We're staying in Luke. And while you're looking it up, I have a bit of trivia for you. For those of you playing along at home, can anybody tell me what this is? No? I bet I know the answers. People are out there going, it's a manger, dummy. It's a manger. That's where little baby Jesus laid. No. This is a king-size bed. Get it? A king-size bed. You don't have to laugh. Just don't make those faces at me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our hearts, our minds, our desire to be with you, to walk closer with you, Father. Let these words that come forward strengthen us. Let them be a part of us. In these times of uncertainty, Father, we are all in need of grounding and direction. We pray that the words that you have given to be spoken today do just that. That they ground us, that they direct us, that they remind us you're still in control of everything. Thank you for this time, for this season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I got to go set this off because this thing is ceramic and I know I'll break it. And if you were here right now, you'd hear the producers and the director of this video program fussing at me for stepping out of the camera view. So. But you know, I listen to everything I'm told. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 22. Verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for the burn, when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you. And many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." And the angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until this day happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When the time of his service was complete, he returned home after his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you. We thank you that sermons, that messages from the gospel are not perfect, that they ebb and flow according to the Holy Spirit. So fill us with the Holy Spirit as we come together to hear these words. Bless us now and keep us into you, Father. Let the Holy Spirit fill this house and each and every house that is standing before the video now. Let them know the blessings, comfort, and warmth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, and all of his children said, thank you. Amen. Now, a lot of you are new to Long Meadow Church of the Brethren, and I understand that. You haven't been here along with our journey since December the 7th, and yes, tomorrow is the day. Yeah, I know, a date that will live in infamy. But the truth of the matter is, December 7th, 2007, I started my journey right here in this church. A journey that started a month and a half earlier because my direction in life was not what the Lord would have. And he changed it. And so I now start my 14th year, right? I am now starting my 14th year. And if you have been a part of this congregation since I've been here, you know that I don't hold anything back. I tell you the absolute truth about anything that comes into my head. And I'm always honest about myself. I don't want anybody to ever think that I deserve to stand up here and preach, because I never do. But December 7th, which is tomorrow, celebrates an anniversary for Long Meadow Church of the Brethren, for the Leatherman family, for everybody that has touched us, for everybody that we've been blessed to touch. And in all of my days, and I've told my wife this, and I've told other members of churches, in all of my days, I never thought I'd be doing something like this. Not even in my wildest. But thus saith the Lord, and so it is so. Now here's a little known fact about me. I love, love, love being told what to do. Now we're not going to start this sermon this way. For those of you that are at home laughing, that think that's funny, shame on you. You know that I am the picture of obedience when people are telling me what to do. And for the producers and directors that are here in the room with me right now that are laughing, shame on all of you. I love being told what to do. You tell me what to do, one of the most glorious things about me is that I'll follow it to the letter. And I won't even argue with you, even just a little bit. I sure hope my mom and dad ain't watching this, because if they are, the phone will be ringing probably before I get home. I follow all the signs. If the sign says stand here, I stand here. If the sign says don't go out this door, I don't go out this door. I follow all of them, including the most famous sign in my life, the sign I follow the most careful, the sign that says speed limit. Well, just this morning, we were getting ready to go, and our cat wanted back in the house. I come downstairs, it's 5:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock, whatever it was, I'm starting to finish up the sermon, and I sit down and I hear the cat wants back in the house. Apparently, the cat had been let out, and so I let her in the house. And is there anything more enjoyable on a cold morning than having the kitty cat curl up against you and dig in and start purring? You remember that cartoon where the little kitten and the big bulldog, and the little kitten would climb up on his back and would knead, and that bulldog, and when he got done, he'd reach over and pull a piece of skin over the little sleeping kitten. I love that. Cat was all curled up on my chest. We got ready to go. And I am such a good follower of direction that when my wife told me to stand up before we walked out the door, she was going to get her lint brush to get the cat hair off me, I didn't even argue with her. I'm just looking for the lightning strike. And that's all of us, right? We listen. When we're told what to do, we listen, don't we? We listen to the letter. We never argue. We never say anything. We never, ever argue about if this says do that or that says do this. We as an individual, we as a collective, we as human beings never, ever argue, and we always comply. I mean, after all, everybody loves wearing a mask, don't they? The word for this day, thus saith the Lord, is obedience. Thomas Kempis said in one of his writings, instant obedience is the only kind of obedience there is. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And whoever strives to withdraw from obedience withdraws from grace. And that, brothers and sisters, is the beginning of this sermon. The beginning of what the second Sunday of Advent is and how it's made. Obedience. I titled this sermon, Thus Saith, because my father and I, we differ on how we read the Bible. Not in a bad way, just as two different people. My father was brought up on the King James Version. And I have nothing against the King James Version. Regardless, and I'm not here to start up a whole theology discussion about which one's better or which one's more correct. My dad likes the King James Version. I like the New International. But I will refer to the King James Version sometimes because of the poetry of it. And in asking Dad one time, that's what he said. I love the poetry. I love the flow of it. And all through the King James Version, all through from page one to page end, you'll get that moment where, thus saith the Lord. Whenever you read that, that means pay attention. The time for obedience is now. And yet we see that in this scripture, don't we? Let's set the scene for a moment. Let's talk about our old buddy Zechariah. Zechariah is a good man. The Bible makes note of it. In the time of King Herod of Judea, Zechariah was a priest. And he belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. And his wife was a descendant of Aaron. So right out of the gate, they've got lineage. And he's a priest. And I think a lot of people, when they're starting to look at the Christmas spirit, the Christmas time, they think of the Christmas story. You know, in the days of Caesar Augustus, there came a decree that Mary and Joseph had to go back to the hometown. We all know the story. And in the manger, the baby was born. But the part of the story that had to be there, the prelude, the beginning, is the story of John the Baptist. And even further back than that is the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were obedient. They were priestly. They were favored. They were seen. Her lineage back to Aaron. His lineage of Abijah. And if we go on, we'll read a little further on. It says right there, observing the Lord's commandments. You know what that means, observe, obedient. And regulations blamelessly. Blamelessly. And yet verse 7 says, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were well along in their years. And that was a terrible thing for a Jewish woman to be barren. And it had to be hard to follow the regulations and be blameless. I want to know how many people can claim they're a Christian right now. Good, put your hands up, everybody. Hey, yeah, I'm a Christian. Woohoo! Yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe He was the Son of God. I believe that He came down. I believe that He died. I believe that He was raised up 3 days. After that, I believe that believing in Him salves me from my sins forever and I'm going to heaven. Yahoo! And yet, how many of these people, especially in today's social media, will post things on there that make somebody go, what? You know, standing there, hey, look at me, I'm out by my fire here tonight and I'm a good Christian while I'm drinking my beer. I'm not saying anything against that. I'm saying, who lives blameless? I've said it once. I probably got it recorded somewhere. I took a line from Chuck Swindoll. Sorry, Chuck. I love you. But that line that you said one time in your service was funny. And I believe it and went out and did it. None of my vehicles have Christian symbols on the back of them. Because I do not want anyone to know that a Christian is driving that vehicle sometimes. You understand what I mean? And yet Zechariah and Elizabeth, blameless. And they did not have a child. Some people would find that hard to understand. How in the world can a good, God-fearing man, a priest, and his wife be barren? How in the world can a country, can a world be rocked by this virus? And yet God is always in control. Verse 8. It goes on to explain Zechariah's division. He was in charge. He was part of. When his division was on duty, he was serving as the priest before God. And I love this part. He was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. In other words, all the names were put in a hat. And somebody drew the name to go in, chosen by lot. We have a rather large family. The Leatherman family. And I imagine some people do. And when I was a kid growing up, they've changed the rules and I've never liked it. And I'm going to go on record as stating my distaste of it. When I was a kid growing up in the Leatherman family, all of us kids got presents from everybody. Nowadays, it's let's draw names and you get this person and you get this person. Now, I want all my guests. So I'm calling all my aunts and my uncles and tell them, you think they're going to be obedient and listen to me? No. What about if I start by going, thus saith the Paul? No, that ain't going to work neither. But they cast it by lots, they drew names, or however they did it. And Zechariah was tapped to go into the temple and burn incense in the Holy of Holies, where God communicated. And he goes in. The Bible records it. The time of the burning of incense came. All the assembled worshipers were praying outside, away. Zechariah was in seclusion. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Let's just stop that right there. I believe in everything that is God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. I believe it to my utter core. But I'm telling you right now, if I was down in my shop working away, hammering on a tractor, or who knows whatever, and I got my bluegrass gospel music playing in the background, and for those of you that are new to the channel, the Bible makes it very clear that bluegrass music is part of the music that will be playing in heaven. Go back and read what happened when King David won. They played the lyre, which is a guitar, which is the cousin to the banjo. I'm right. I'm down there working in the shop, and suddenly I get movement. Or a great light appears, and an angel steps up from beside there and says, Paul, wait a minute. I got got to get a little further along. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. I got news for you. There would be a new door somewhere in the wall of that shop if I couldn't get to the front one fast enough. It would scare me to no end, and yet I believe in it. But the angel says to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." And goes on to explain to him what's about to happen. Your wife is going to become pregnant. She's going to give a son. That's the treasure of the Jewish people. You're going to name him John. He will be a joy. Gabriel, the angel, is explaining. He will be a joy, a delight to you. And many will rejoice because of this birth. He goes on to explain. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. But don't let him drink wine. And don't let him drink fermented drinks. And people will come to know the Lord because of him. And he will prepare the way for the one to come. And many will go back and listen to the righteous. Thus saith. And what do? We question it. We're human beings. Zechariah, who kept the regulations and was blameless, questioned it. He said, How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. You've made Gabriel mad, Zechariah. And when I get to heaven, I cannot wait to talk to you. I've got a whole list of those that I'm going to ask questions about. What were you thinking? And I'm sure there's people up there with their own list when I get there to ask me the same questions. What were you thinking? The angel answered, I wish I had that microphone right here in my face. I wish I could have a way to go, I am Gabriel. Imagine the walls shook a little bit. I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you, thus saith, and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until that day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. And he goes silent. That's us. Thus saith. The Lord has said what he has to say. Thus saith. And yet we question it. It's not that I'm saying that we have to be perfect, because we're not going to be. What we have to be is conscious, aware, understanding of who we are and what can happen. And when the Lord speaks, when he is doing whatever it is he is doing, we are to be obedient to him. And sometimes it's hard. I've read a story about Arabian horses. I'm hoping my horse people are paying attention. Arabian horses go through rigorous training. They live in the desert of the Middle East, and the trainers require absolute obedience from these horses. Now, here's how they test them to see if they're completely trained. The final test, I don't see how they handle it, is beyond the endurance of anything living. The trainers force the horses to go without water for many days. Then he turns loose and they start running toward the water. But just as they are ready to plunge in and drink, just as they are right there, he blows his whistle. And the horses who have been completely trained stop dead in their tracks. The ones who haven't run on to the water. They turn around, pacing, stomping, prancing back to their trainer, because they have been trained. They stand there quivering, wanting water, but they wait in perfect obedience. When the trainer is sure he has their complete obedience, he gives them the signal to go back and drink. Now, this may be severe, but when you are on the trackless desert of Arabia and your life is entrusted to a horse, you better have a trained, obedient horse. We must accept God's training and obey him. When he says, thus saith, it's time to listen. It's called acceptance. Don Baker tells a story. Pastor Don Baker relates the story of his good friend, Reverend Tom Erickson. I love this story. I've never got a chance to use it because it never fit. But today, the public library system where they are has a thing called Dial-A-Tale. Now, kids can come and call a telephone number and they can dial anytime they want and hear a fairy tale read to them. How beautiful is that, right? And a small voice will come on or computerized, but the number is one digit off of Reverend Tom Erickson's phone number. One digit. It says Tom gets frequent calls from young children listening for a fairy tale, and after several unsuccessful attempts to tell the library to change the number, they wouldn't change the number. Tom felt he only had one alternative. He went out and bought a copy of Three Little Pigs, puts it by the phone. Now, whenever a child calls, he simply picks up the book and reads them the tale. Such a beautiful illustration of yielding in obedience, acceptance. As he didn't thought, I'm doing this and enlightening lives, his first thought was, change the number. But through obedience and acceptance, he sees what the Lord had planned for him. That's this Sunday. Obedience and acceptance. Do you know what obedience and acceptance looks like in a physical world? Let me show you. That is obedience and acceptance. He sat in a throne. He was there from the time the world was built. And the Lord knew what was coming. I don't know much. I don't keep up with what Jesus and his Father talk about. They don't call me to ask my advice. But I'm thinking at the beginning, he knew this day was coming. And when it finally happened, he stepped off the heavenly realm to be born in dirt, muck, and pain. He accepted it. He was obedient. And through him comes peace. The second Sunday of Advent is the Sunday of peace. We listen to these words from Isaiah chapter 40, the first 11 verses. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up. Every mountain shall be made low. The rough ground shall become level. The rugged places be a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are his grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power. His arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. So the second Advent Sunday is upon us, and we light the candle of peace. We light the candle that teaches us acceptance, obedience. Thus saith the Lord, brings us peace. It's a prayer, it's a desire I have for this world. I sometimes look around and I want to go back 50 years, 40 years, 30 years. Our desire for peace comes from the Savior, Jesus Christ. Barrett Kedjos, in his book, A Wardrobe for the King, tells the story, long ago a man sought the perfect picture of peace. Not finding one that satisfied him, he announced a contest to produce this masterpiece. And the challenge brought artists from all over the world. Paintings arrived from everywhere, and finally the day of great revelation arrived. And as the judges uncovered one peaceful scene after another, the viewers clapped and cheered. The tensions grew, only two pictures remained. As the judge pulled the cover from one, a hush fell over the crowd. A mirror smooth lake reflected lacy green branches under the soft blush of the evening sky. Along the grassy shore, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. The crowd fell silent and tears welled up in eyes. Surely this was the winner. The man with the vision uncovered the second painting himself left, and the crowd gasped out, "Could this be peace?" The picture brought forth a tumultuous waterfall cascading down a rocky precipice. The crowd could almost feel its cold and penetrating spray. Stormy gray rain clouds threatened to explode with lightning, wind, and rain. In the midst of this thundering noise and bitter chill, a spindly tree clung to the rocks at the edge of the falls. One of its branches reached out in front of the torrential waters as if foolishly seeking to experience the raw full power. A little bird had built a nest in the elbow of that branch. Content and undisturbed in her stormy surroundings, she rested on her eggs, eyes closed, and her wings ready to cover up her little ones. She manifested the peace that transcends all this earthly turmoil. I would be wrong if I did not finish. And we continue on to verse 57 in Luke chapter 1. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives had heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy and shared her great joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to the father to find out what he would name the child. He asked for a writing tablet. And to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. Richard Baxter wrote a little poem, "The Cost of Obedience and Acceptance." Lord, it belongs not to my care, whether I die or live. To love and serve Thee is my share, and this Thy grace must give. If life be long, I will be glad that I may long obey. If short, yet why should I be sad to soar to endless day? Christ leads me through no darker rooms than He went through before. He that to God's kingdom comes must enter by this door. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith all things. I'd like you to make this proclamation for yourself over the next week. In the quiet moments, during your prayer, whenever. Thus saith the Lord, the Savior is coming, and peace will reign with him. God bless you on this second Sunday of Advent. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for what you have given and taken away. And I say that often because it is true. You have given much to us. You have taken away. But on this Sunday of peace, you spoke it and it existed. Your Son came to save us. Let us dwell on that in the week to come, Father, and prepare ourselves for the next leg of this message. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the season. Thank you for teaching us obedience, acceptance, and leading us to peace. Thus you say, the Savior is coming. Amen. If you don't know my Jesus, call me. If you need to know how to get a hold of me, our website has all the information on it. Email me, call me, text me, I don't care. Get near someone that you know and let them know that you're afraid and you're alone and you don't know what to do. You need to know about Jesus Christ because in time it draws closer and closer to his return. May you be blessed from the message this week. May you be watched over. May the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ keep you in all things. Amen. Thank you, and God bless.